Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, March 3rd, Pope Francis urges scientists to work towards resolving the global polycrisis as he recovers from bilateral pneumonia in hospital. Israel cuts off humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip. And Catholics in Mongolia join to celebrate the ongoing jubilee on the peripheries of the church. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis rested well overnight, according to the Holy See Press Office, as he receives treatment for bilateral pneumonia at Rome's Gemelli Hospital. After awakening on Monday, the Holy Father had breakfast and began the day's therapies. The medical update on Sunday evening said the Pope's condition has remained stable, though he still requires supplemental high-flow oxygenation. Meanwhile, Pope Francis today sent a message to participants in the Pontifical Academy for Life's 2025 General Assembly, which was signed from Rome's Gemelli Hospital. The Pope insisted on the need to reevaluate our understanding of the cosmos and strengthen global institutions in order to respond to the polycrisis facing our world. Christopher Wells reports.
Addressing participants in the Pontifical Academy for Life's 2025 General Assembly, Pope Francis said that they were highlighting the concurrent crises, or polycrisis, facing the world, a crisis that includes war, climate change, energy problems, epidemics, migration, and technological innovation. These issues prompt questions about the fate of the world and how we understand the world, he told the Assembly, which is sponsoring an international workshop on the end of the world, crises, responsibilities, and hopes. In response to these questions, the Pope said, we must first examine our own understanding of the world and the cosmos in order to overcome our deep-seated resistance as individuals and as a society to change. Holy Father also insisted on the need to avoid standing still and of listening to the contribution of scientific knowledge, while denouncing the pandering to utilitarian and planetary deregulation, which he said leads to the imposition of the law of the strongest, a law that dehumanizes. On the contrary, new ways of seeing the world and evolution can provide us with signs of hope. Hope which sustains our journey and inspires us to reach out with impetus towards true life. Pope Francis also expressed concern about the progressive irrelevance of international bodies, which are being undermined by short-sighted attitudes concerned with protecting particular and national interests. Instead, he argued, the human community must strive for more effective world organizations, invested with authority to ensure the common good of the whole world. This, in turn, can promote a multilateralism that does not depend upon the vicissitudes of politics or the interests of just a few, but instead encourages a stable effectiveness. This, Pope Francis said, is the broad context of the Academy's work, for which he thanked the members before entrusting them to the intercession of Mary, Seed of Wisdom and Mother of Hope. I'm Christopher Wells.
Staying with the story, several participants in the Pontifical Academy for Life's General Assembly presented the event to reporters at the Holy See Press Office. The conference, entitled The End of the World, Crises, Responsibilities, and Hopes, takes place on Monday and Tuesday and brings together experts in physics, theology, and history. Among them is Professor Caitlin Carico, the 2023 Nobel Prize winner for medicine. She told Deborah Castellana-Lubov why she felt it worthwhile to attend the assembly, speaking about her hopes for science today.
Realizing during the COVID that we, as a scientist, we didn't talk to the public. We didn't say who we are, the scientists, what we are doing, how well advanced our science was. So the gap between the average person knowledge on molecular biology and what a scientist can do was a huge. And this is getting bigger and bigger, and I felt responsibility when I accepted an award and wherever I went to try to explain with simple language, to educate the public. And I also realized that children nowadays, they were not interested in science. And I felt a responsibility because I was inspired once when I was a little girl. And I felt that, okay, now I am that old and I need to inspire the new generation because they are curious and we need more scientists. As I went on and on, I realized that there are so much more to do. And I felt that we band together. And for me, every corner on scientist is a fellow scientist. So with this assembly, I thought that it will be when economists and artists and all our politicians and religious leaders will talk, you know. And as I mentioned, the thing that you don't know that when you are watching the film, whether it is a real one or whether it is an edited, it seems now that if you hear somebody talk and you see the person and where it happens, you know, it happens in the churches and mosques and other places, or scientists when give lectures or artists when they talk, you can see them. And that's, you believe that that person is saying that. And so I thought that together, you know, other people smarter and they have other ideas, together we can accomplish good things. That's why I felt so strongly to be here and help.
Thanks there to Dr. Caitlin Carrico, 2023 Nobel Prize winner for medicine. Israel has stopped the entry of all food and humanitarian aid into Gaza and warned of additional consequences for Hamas if a fragile ceasefire isn't extended. Mediators from Egypt and Qatar have accused Israel of violating humanitarian law by using starvation as a weapon. Joseph Tulloch has the story.
The first phase of the Gaza ceasefire deal saw a surge in humanitarian aid after months of growing hunger. On Sunday, however, Israel stopped the entry of all food and humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip. Egypt and Qatar, who are mediating the ceasefire deal, criticised the move, calling it a contravention of basic humanitarian law. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres also voiced concern, calling on all parties to make every effort to facilitate the flow of humanitarian aid back into Gaza. Five NGOs, meanwhile, have asked Israel's Supreme Court for an interim order barring the state from preventing aid entering Gaza, claiming that the move violates Israel's obligations under international law. These obligations, one of the NGOs said, cannot be conditioned on political considerations. The ongoing Israel-Hamas war has left most of Gaza's population of over 2 million dependent on international aid. About 600 aid trucks had entered the strip daily since the ceasefire began on the 19th of January, easing the fears of famine that had been raised by international experts. But residents say that prices had shot up as word of the closure spread. Speaking to the Associated Press from the heavily destroyed Jabalia refugee camp, Fayyad Nassar said that the closure would worsen what were already dire conditions. "There will be famine and chaos," she said. Separately, according to local medics and media professionals, despite the ceasefire, two Palestinians were killed in Israeli drone fire in the central area of Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
British Prime Minister Keir Starmer says European leaders have agreed to draw up a peace plan for Ukraine to present to the United States. 18 European leaders met in London on Sunday to express support for Ukraine, as Susie Hodges reports.
At the summit, European leaders agreed that they must spend more on defence to show US President Donald Trump the continent can protect itself. Saying Europe is at a crossroads in its history, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer said Britain, France, Ukraine and some other countries would form a coalition of the willing and draw up a four-point plan to stop the war in Ukraine. Starmer said they would also seek to involve the US in their support for Ukraine and take forward the peace plan together. Before the summit, French President Emmanuel Macron told a French newspaper that the peace plan for Ukraine would involve a one-month ceasefire that would apply to air and sea attacks, but not to ground combat. Macron said European troops would be deployed if a substantial peace agreement was reached. European leaders are scrambling to ensure that Kiev is not excluded from any peace talks after last Friday's clash between Zelensky, Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance at the White House. The angry clash has raised fears that Trump could cease support for Ukraine and impose a peace plan negotiated directly with Russia. Following the summit, in another show of support for the Ukrainian leader, President Zelensky flew to meet Britain's King Charles at his residence in eastern England. At a later news conference, Zelensky told reporters Ukraine was not at this stage willing to discuss giving up territory Russia has captured as part of a peace agreement, but said he was still willing to sign a minerals deal with the US. On arriving back home, Zelensky again reiterated his gratitude to the US for its support to Ukraine. Meanwhile, Russia has said its military operation in Ukraine will continue until all objectives have been reached. Commenting on the clash between Zelensky and Trump, the Kremlin on Monday accused Zelensky of a total lack of diplomatic ability and said the fragmentation of the West's collective unity had begun. For Vatican Radio, I'm Susie Hodges reporting.
The Catholic Church in Thailand has ushered in new leadership as Archbishop Francis Xavier Vida Aprondatana was installed as the Archbishop of Bangkok on Sunday in the Assumption Cathedral. His appointment comes at a pivotal time for the Archdiocese of Bangkok, which not only serves as the heart of Catholicism in Thailand, but also houses the headquarters of the Federation of Asian Bishops Conferences and Caritas Asia, which are key institutions shaping the Church's mission across the region. As he assumes office, Archbishop Aprondatana steps into a role that carries both local pastoral duties and a wider influence on the Church in Asia. And finally, Jubilee celebrations are underway in the Asian nations of Mongolia, whose tiny Catholic community is led by Cardinal Giorgio Marengo, Apostolic Prefect of Ulaanbaatar, the nation's capital. The central focus of the Jubilee activities involves formation and sharing, and celebrations involve people of all walks of life and parishes. Thaddeus Jones has more.
Jubilee celebrations are underway in Mongolia, and they opened on a day of intense cold with temperatures plunging to 30 degrees below zero Celsius. On the 29th of December in Ulaanbaatar, the capital of Mongolia, the Jubilee opened with a solemn celebration presided over by Cardinal Giorgio Marengo, the apostolic prefect of this tiny church community, which numbers around 1,600 baptized individuals out of a population of 3.2 million spread across a territory of more than 1.5 million square kilometers. He shared a detailed recollection in an interview with Vatican media, recalling how they used a great cross that featured during the papal mass when Pope Francis visited the nation in September 2023. And after praying part of the rosary outside, they solemnly entered the cathedral, marking a powerful celebration that allowed the people to feel in communion with the universal church. The celebration marked a culmination in preparations by the faithful of the Ulaanbaatar Apostolic Prefecture. There have been many opportunities for formation and in-depth reflection, and one of the best encapsulated the need to exercise hope, the central theme of the Holy Year. Cardinal Marengo said it's the experience of communion and animation with Generoso, the international group of artists who came to visit them shortly before the Jubilee, and together with prepared workshops and a concert. The common thread of these activities was the concept called Hoping Together, also the theme of the papal visit nearly 2 years ago when the Pope was there in September 2023. And preparing well for the Jubilee also meant rediscovering the history of a local church that has roots in an ancient Christianity, but in contemporary times boasts only 33 years of existence. And Cardinal Marengo noted this too has been an exercise in hope, in accepting the Jubilee invitation to look to the future with eyes full of faith, never discouraged. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In this Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.